Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, in Psalms 103. I just feel like we ought to read this together here tonight. I'm not speaking on it, but I just want to read it with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I think if you just stop and take time and read the word and hear what he said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He'll not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're just dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye angels, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We serve a great God tonight. Somebody ought to agree with me right now. We serve a great God tonight. How great he is. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Worship the name of the Lord. He's so wonderful. He's so worthy. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I want you to lift a hand with me and pray right now. We're going to pray for Mark Walls. Mark was there last night till about 9:30 with him. He's just at the point of death right now. And we need to pray that God would right now just come and bring peace. There was peace already there, but just bring peace to everyone that's surrounding him right now. Would you do that? Lord, I pray for Mark. I pray for the family that's surrounding him, Sister Walls and Mark's kids, Lord, Brian and Brandon and Ashley. I pray for them, and I pray you help them. You're the lifter up of our head. We know, Lord, in whom we can trust. We know in whom we can believe. We know, Lord, how great your mercies are. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can hear from you and that you trust us, Lord, and we can trust you. Blessed be your name, God. I worship you. I glorify you. I believe in your goodness and your grace, God. Hallelujah. Touch him now. Touch that family. We believe in your miracle-working power, whether it be healed in this life or in that which is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Praise God, amen. The book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, amen. And the 9th verse, I'm glad for all of us that are here, amen. And I'm glad that you made it to church on these treacherous roads on this snowy Wednesday evening. But beloved, we are persuaded better things. Now, I really wanted to preach this message, teach this message to a lot more than just what's here tonight. And so, this might be like chili. This might be like chili. You know what I'm talking about? Huh?
It never ends.
It never ends, and it's better left over. Isn't that right? Don't you agree with that?
Over and over.
Over and over. And so, it could be that the leftovers happen, and this happens again. But I'm not going to question God tonight because everything I've done said so far I felt like was the Lord. And so I'm trusting that what I say tonight is for somebody that's here. And so believe with me. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, let me talk to you for just a few moments and walk with me, if you would. I want to talk to you about to imitate and to inherit. To imitate and to inherit. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your good word tonight. And I pray that you speak to us through it. And we that have gathered here, I thank you, Lord, that we have made it safely. I pray that you keep us safe and in your will. Thank you, God, for great grace and mercy and compassion and your holy word, Lord. I love you. In Jesus' name, anoint us all, I pray. Amen. Would the church say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. I love you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. God, in his all-knowing, perfect, patient way, knew what he was doing when he placed the care and continuance of his kingdom into the hands of those such as you and I. He did. He knew our possibility for failure, our inconsistency, and sometimes insincerity. He knew. He knew that though it was his kingdom, that our fingerprints would just get all over it. Yet still he trusted us with it. He could have demanded and directed it to be that we simply served without choice. But love demanded is never as pure and good as love freely and willfully given. So he decided that you and I, vessels of clay, imperfect and impure, would be the ones that he would hand the keys over to take care of it till he returned. Without question, we have not always done a very good job of it. That is the truth. At least I have not. We have missed the mark more than a time or two. But at other times, we have made it look more like him and less like ourselves. We got out of the way of grace and we let him work instead of us doing the work. Instead of us trying to work it out, we let God work it out. We pointed to him instead of pointing to ourselves. We loved more and lived it out, not just in words, but in deeds like the word said to do. The wonderful thing about it is that each generation of grace is given both a blank slate and yet a template to work with. Now, I hope I can help you see this and understand this. Each generation of the church is given a blank slate, yet a template to work with. You and I are not here tonight going this alone. We know that God is with us. That is the promise, and that should be as well felt by us all, that in fact, God is with us. He is very, very, very present with us. We are never, when we are in the truth, his spirit dwelling within us, we are never comfortless. Yes. There is always that comforter of God. But not only that, the word said this, if you would please. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Compassed, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, examples, in other words, that have lived the life, that paved the way, blazed the trail, and then after it was blazed, they kept it open for us to follow. We are not, I'm going to repeat it, we are not going this alone. David said it this way, I have a goodly heritage. Yes. He knew that he didn't get to where he was on his own, and it would be well for us, you and I, to remember that neither did we. We didn't arrive at this point on our own power, our own ability, or somehow without the help of others and another that is around us. We stand on the shoulders of others that have faithfully followed and fearlessly led. Yes, we do, every one of us. To those not older yet, in the sound of my voice, what has been given to you must not be forgotten. For if we don't know where we have come from, then we will have absolutely no idea where we are going. And to those who are not as young as you used to be, God knows what he is doing by placing this kingdom in the creative hands of those that are following us. I firmly believe this tonight, that God knows what he is doing by placing the furtherance and the continuance of the kingdom in those that are following you and I, who might be just a little further down the road. Hebrews 6, if you would, please. But beloved, we are persuaded better things. Hebrews 6, 9. If I didn't put that down, I apologize. Hebrews 6, 9. But we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Paul was saying here, Paul knew there would be and wanted better things from those that the church and the truth was being trusted in. Do you understand this? We are persuaded better things of you. We are persuaded that it's going to be better than it has been. We are assured that what's been given to you is going to be better when you give it to somebody else. He knew that there would be and wanted better things from those that the church and the truth had been put into. He was persuaded that there would be better things. If he was persuaded, everybody hear me right now, everybody that's my age, around my age, a little older, if Paul was persuaded, you and I should be persuaded as well. If Paul looked at that particular place in the Word and he said, the generation that is following, the people that are coming behind, the younger ones, the new ones, the ones that don't look or act like you might think they should, it's going to be okay, because I'm persuaded that better things are going to be found. Better things are going to be done. Better things are going to happen. It may not be always like it was, but it's going to be better, because that's the way God works. Amen. Now the 10th verse, if you would, please. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Now look at this transition here, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God does not forget what you have done. I need everyone my age to remember this now. God does not forget what you and I have done. God does not ignore what we are doing. His way is perfect. His timing is perfect. Even when we fail to perceive it at work, he is still orchestrating his will by the counsel of himself. Amen. Of what he does through the solidity of his word that's forever settled in heaven. Right. Each generation speaks to its generation in a way that it can understand. Yeah. This is something that has taken my mind a bit of a turn, if you would. And it hasn't happened overnight, but I'm coming more. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to understand it completely, and I'm thankful that God is helping me to do so. But I'm learning that each generation speaks to its generation in a way that it can be communicated and in a way that it can be understood. This generation is speaking to this present generation that is leading the church, coming into the leadership of the church, that is impacting the church. It is communicating, it is doing it in a way that can be understood by this generation. If it was spoken in the terms of what was 30, 40, 50 years ago, it would not be translated correctly. And so now it's being translated in the way, and when that generation passes on, should the Lord tarry, the next generation will communicate in a way that it can be understood then. Because that's the way that God works. Each generation speaks to its generation in a way that it can understand. I'm grateful, and I'm sincere when I say this, I'm grateful that I have been allowed to live in a time to learn and hear from what was, those who were before me, and yet learn and hear from a generation that is and will be. And I'm grateful that I have the perspective of seeing what was and seeing what is and what potentially can be. We are blessed to be in this time. We are blessed to be in this time. And here's the key, if you would, please, this next verse. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The same diligence. Full assurance. Everybody still with me? Say amen. Amen. Same diligence, full assurance, hope unto the end. That this generation, the one that Paul said, I'm persuaded of, that we would all have the same diligence, full assurance, and hope unto the end. It was not and it is not that any and all of us will always get this perfect. We won't. But we live the life, we serve the Lord with diligence, with assurance, and with hope. I stand in this pulpit tonight with diligence, with assurance, and with hope. Yes. Amen. It was about concentration, capacity, and consistency. I'm going to repeat it again. Mark it down if you need to. It was about concentration, it was about capacity, and it was about consistency. To be diligent with what has been given to us, to concentrate, in other words, to be mindful, to be diligent, to be thoughtful of the fact that this is all still His and it is not ours. This is not our kingdom. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is His church. This is His kingdom. Everybody got that? He's God over it all. No matter how much we think we own it, we don't own it. No matter how much we think we can manipulate it, we have some impact, but we don't have all impact. And we have to remember that we have to be diligent. We have to be concentrated about it, to be mindful. Then full assurance, he said. In other words, full assurance is the capacity to be complete, to be full, filled up, expectant, not wanting or empty, not unfulfilled, but fully convinced that what has been given to us, it is right. I'm going to start shooting kind of straight from the hip for a second here. It matters what you hear preached from a pulpit. It matters the truth that is being proclaimed. It matters the doctrine that is rightly divided. It matters the life and the lifestyle that is lived. It matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. There must be that full assurance that you and I come to. You've got to have your mind convinced of this. There's got to be something within you tonight that's filled to the brim to know that the life you're living, the life you're leading, what you believe, whom in whom you believe is right. Because there is an atmosphere and an attitude within a spiritual world right now that wants to try to convince you otherwise, to tell you that God is not real or that there is not one God and that His name doesn't really matter. But I'm telling you tonight, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and His name is Jesus. Amen. That will never change and it will never be diluted, no matter what man may say.
That's right.
Come on, somebody ought to thank God for that. We have to be convinced that the life we're living is the right life that we should live, that it's not some gray area of electives that we can do with or do without, but they are the things that not necessarily save us, but they are the things that insulate us to salvation. They are the things that we discipline in our life and we adhere to in our life so that we might remain in a place that we might have an intimate relationship with God, that we might be saved by it and through it. Help me, God, to love what I believe and to be fully convinced and fully assured, amen, of it. And then he said, hope unto the end. In other words, consistency. Hope unto the end. Keep swinging for the bleachers every time you get up to bat. I always tell ministers and people, I've said it every time I've talked to them about the ministry, I always liked Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson played professional football and played professional baseball. And the year that he played professional baseball, he led the league in home runs. But he also led the league in strikeouts.
Right.
And the reason why is because every time he got up to bat, wonderful to think about this, he swung for the bleachers.
Yes.
Come on, you're not always going to make contact. Sometimes you're going to strike out. Sometimes you're going to miss it. I can't tell you how many times I've walked off from the pulpit and thought, man, I need to go, I don't know, work at McDonald's and flip hamburgers or something, because I sure didn't get it that night. And inevitably, the Lord will remind me, you got to keep swinging for the bleachers.
Yes, yes.
I don't care if there's just 30 or whatever we got here tonight, 40, 50, I don't know what it is with the kids. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to believe the word of the Lord. I'm going to swing away.
That's right.
Because that's how we should live for God.
That's right.
I don't want to live half-heartedly. I want to be fully assured, and I want to hope all the way to the end. Brother Edwards, I want to get all the way to the end and be able to look back in my life. I know you appreciate it. I want to get to all the way to the end, look back in my life, and know I hoped all the way. I believed it all the way. Amen. I want to be able to walk through the gates and know, yep, that was right. Amen. I have that assurance in my heart that this is the truth. There may be down days and sad seasons, but we hope until the end. We don't give up. We remain faithful, even in difficult days. And you can repeat me on this tonight. Tell everybody that you can get in contact with. We don't give up in difficult days. We don't walk away from the church and give up. We endure. We live. We hope unto the end.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go on. I need to get away from that. I'll say things I shouldn't. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. I need you to look at this verse here. Not slothful. Spiritual laziness could be the demise of many in this end time. It's not an excuse that will stand up. Everybody hear me right now. Spiritual laziness could be the demise of many people's spiritual life right now in this end time. And there is spiritual laziness. The prophet talked about it. Woe unto them that take their ease in Zion. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so cometh thy poverty. He was speaking spiritually there. If we are not spiritually energetic, if we are spiritually lazy, it could cause us to be lost. We may not be entertaining sin, but it could become a sin because we are not spiritually energized. We are not spiritually active doing what we should be doing. Somebody say amen to that right now. Spiritual laziness could be the demise of many. But hear me, it is not an excuse that will stand up against the price that was paid by Jesus at the cross for our salvation. Spiritual laziness will not stand up against that price. And the reason why I know this, because he looked and he gave the illustration Christ did, and he said he went away, left talents in the hands of individuals, and when he came back, he required more of them. So that tells me that there's a necessity for diligence on the part of the church. We can't get spiritually lazy. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care who is or who is not here, or the atmosphere, or what's going on inside the church or outside this church. There should be something within us that every time we get the chance to be in church and to worship God, we walk into this place and we magnify him and we trust in him and we live that life not just here but out there as well. Amen. Be followers of them, he said, those who have come before us, those who compass us, in other words, that we read just a moment ago here in Hebrews 12, those who compass us, the template, in other words. We are to be followers of the template that hands you and I a blank slate. We are to follow the template, yet we are to fill in that blank slate that has been given to us. We are imitators and we are inheritors. We imitate what has been before us, and yet we inherit what we will create. Each generation touching another, and all of it bringing glory to God. Right. Everything that we do is ultimately for the glory of God. Right. Now, I want you to notice the wording of the 12th verse here, if you would. That 12th verse, it was not those who through faith and patience inherited the promises, as in past tense, but those who inherit. Present tense. This is a work in progress. We are not finished. We are still inheriting. Through faith and patience, we carry on what has been carried before. It has just been passed to you and I. It has just been handed to you and I. Little Levi up here, Lord Terry's, it will be handed to him. Each generation overlaps each generation. It is continual inheritance within the kingdom of God. We pray on. We believe on. The story is not done. We remain faithful with hope all the way to the end. We hope all the way to the end. Yes. We are following as we are leading. Yes. Someone's fingerprints will cover our fingerprints in time. Your fingerprints and my fingerprints are covering somebody's fingerprints that were on this church, on this kingdom before us. It is natural. It is natural for there to be the covering of the fingerprints in each generation. And don't be offended when it happens.
That's right.
Don't be bitter because you are not in the place you once were.
Right.
Because if you are submitted to the kingdom, it is not about the position of who we are, mm-hmm. but it is about the glory of who he is.
Yes.
And it does not mean that our fingerprints of the past are any less important. It just means that God meant for the kingdom to have their touch on this as well as ours.
Yes.
That's the wonderful thing about it. It's not about us. It's all about him. Just like us, should the Lord tarry, each generation, the generation that will be, they will get it wrong, and yet they will get it right. Yes. Over there, kids upstairs right now, on Sunday, as difficult as some of them might be, and I know all our kids are angels and they do nothing wrong, but should they do wrong, I want you to know that it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right, because you're okay. And you were just like them. And God trusted them. God trusts you. God trusts us all with his kingdom. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. We should just be grateful. Somebody hear me on this. We should just be grateful that we get to be in the field where it's all happening.
Yes.
We ought to be grateful. I pray this every service. Yes. I pray that every time we walk in, we just are grateful we get to do that.
Yes.
That we're just grateful that we get to be a part of the kingdom, that we're in the field, that we get to do the work. We imitate, we inherit, and we, like John, decrease so that he can increase. Brother Chase and I were talking about this the other day, and I have thought greatly about it. If John had to decrease, then there was the time that he increased. Have you thought about this? He was once more than what he ultimately ended up to be.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a time. There was a time that John was increased. And John looked and knew that it was coming. He said, I've got to decrease so that he can increase. Jesus sent word to John while sitting in a prison cell to not be offended at him. Though he could bring him out, he would not. He would be beheaded. The prison cell was a long way from the pulpit that he had in the wilderness. But it was all still in the will of God. Do you understand that?
Yes.
He had to decrease. And that's the way the kingdom works. We have our time. We have our imprint on what we're doing. We have our impact. And then thank God we decrease. Thank God we walk off the scene. And we walk into glory. We really are not, lessening. We are stepping higher into good things in God. So we're called to be followers and leaders. Not slothful, not spiritually lazy followers, but diligent, fully assured, hoping all the way to the end. We keep imitating, we keep inheriting. We remember that God won't forget our works of righteousness, that it's his kingdom and he loves us. And so, what do? We're faithful. We will be faithful with the truth. And we will be faithful with what has been given to us, because the truth of the matter is we will be judged by our faithfulness. We will be held accountable for the talent that has been given to us that we buried in the earth and didn't do anything with. We must decrease. He must increase. Somebody just... Why don't you just pray with me for a minute right now, where you're sitting. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful, God, that we have the full assurance of this, that we hope unto the end, God, that we are diligent about this life, Lord, that God, through you, our Savior, we can concentrate, and we have the capacity and the consistency to live for you, God, hoping all the way to the end. I pray for everybody in the sound of my voice, God, that you would help us this night, Lord, to recognize your power and your purpose at work, your greatness and your goodness in our life, that we have been blessed to be a part of the kingdom, that we have been blessed, God, that we've been blessed to just work in the field. Oh, Lord, to be a part of something bigger than us, to be a part of something greater for souls to be saved. And Lord, I pray this right now. Help us, God, just to be thankful, to be a thankful people. And Lord, to recognize that every generation, every person has a place in the kingdom, a purpose, God, that you, God, have ordained for us to fulfill. I thank you, Lord, for it, and I give you praise. Would you stand to your feet with me, and would you just lift your voice and your heart right now, and just right now magnify him, because he's God and he's worthy, and you're wonderful, Lord. And how wonderful your ways are, Lord. How faithful your ways are, God. You're a great God of truth and compassion and hope and life and love. I love you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, tell him how great he is. You're a great God. God, you've answered prayer for us. Lord, you've worked in ways that are beyond our mind, our comprehension. And God, we're so blessed tonight. We're so blessed tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, pray with me about Sunday. God, I pray that you touch people as they come into this church Sunday. I pray that souls would be saved and lives would be transformed, God. And people, God, would be motivated. Wake them up in the morning time to know that they must come into the house of the Lord. Be glorified, God. Blessed be your name. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Anoint us, God. Everything we do, we say, we sing. For Lord, you are faithful. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad that the kingdom's in your care? We're not gonna let it down. No, everything's gonna be all right. We serve a faithful God. Let us be a faithful people. One more time, clap your hands in an ovation of praise to God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen now. Amen. I want you to be safe on the road going home. Come back here Sunday. Bring a blanket. Bring a coat. Do something warm. Amen. We're going to have church here Sunday. Be sure and remember, coming up March the 7th, we begin one service at 10 a.m., 9:30, really, for prayer. We're going to gather in here, and then at 10 o'clock have church. God bless you. I love you all. Be safe out there in the name of Jesus. I want you to say hi to somebody on the way out, but don't get close to them, all right? Love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you.